Well, here we are, April 23rd, and the month is almost over already. It feels like it just began. And this, of course, is The Beacon. Good morning, Mrs. Cleveland.
Good morning. Aren't you chipper this morning?
I feel like a million bucks marked down to $1.98.
Wow. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. But
That's fantastic.
You know, we were talking about game shows in the studio the other day in the thing. Do you remember? You probably don't.
I don't remember us talking about game shows.
No, not you. We were talking. Brian and the rest of the guys over here were talking about it. You see, you're just a baby.
Oh, thank you.
You're just a babe in arms, you know?
Thank you. Jesus. I know you'll be calling me old in about 12 seconds.
Well, just wait.
I'll enjoy this while
it all comes, yeah.
Yeah.
But we were talking about Chuck Barris.
Okay.
Who came up with the Gong Show.
Uh-huh.
And he came up with the dating game. And
yeah,
the,
I've heard of all those.
Yeah, have you? And then
sure.
The, what's that other one? Newlywed Game.
Yeah.
And he had the $1.98 beauty pageant. And we couldn't remember if our life depended on it.
Wow.
Who was the host of the $1.98 beauty pageant?
That's so hilarious.
So anyway, but we digress.
We do, as we often do.
How's everything going?
Everything's fine.
Everything on the home front's cool?
Yeah. Kids are healthy. Reese is now 10. Which just blows my mind because when we started this show, she was 2.
Yes.
2 years old.
Yep.
And I was talking to Brian a little bit earlier about, you know, whether he remembers that age. You know, and then it occurred to me that Brian wasn't in the studio with us when Reese was, because
right.
I was doing all the
right.
all the production stuff back then. But, I mean, just
2.
Think that she was 2 and is now 10, and we've been around for that long.
Well, listen, TJ's been with us, too.
Yeah, he just turned 4.
Just 4 years old.
Yeah, he just turned 4.
He's 4. I've got a young lady who's a caregiver for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a son, Anthony, who's 4.
Aww.
And then my one grandson, my first
Lucas.
Grandson,
yeah,
number
your first
one.
Your first grandbaby.
Is 4 years old.
Yeah,
too.
He just turned 4, too.
Just about a week ago.
Yeah,
or so.
That's
so,
right.
You know,
he's a few weeks younger than TJ.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
TJ was born on my mom's birthday.
That's right.
So that's a good thing. So what's on our agenda today?
Well, today we're talking to Leslie Shook, who is from the DePaul School of Theater.
Yes.
So that's always something that I enjoy.
I know.
Interesting to me. And then we're going to be just jumping into Sandy's View with our very own Sandy Murillo.
Right.
And I will be up next with a new smoothie recipe for our lettuce turn up the beet.
Right.
And then we'll wrap it up with Tom's Corner.
Well, sounds like
How's
a
that
plan.
Sound? Does that sound good?
That's good. Sounds
right,
great.
Let's do
we'll
it.
Sit over this gabbing over here. We are going to get underway with Leslie Shook.
Mm-hmm.
Right after this, I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
I lost my daughter Chrissy to cancer. She was just 45 years old. But in her final hours, she chose to give me the ultimate gift. My vision was failing. Through a cornea transplant, Chrissy gave me the gift of sight.
One person can improve the quality of life for up to 25 people.
Cancer didn't define Chrissy. Her giving spirit did.
It takes less than a minute to join the Secretary of State's Organ and Tissue Donor Registry. Go to lifegoeson.com.
I could see so much better. The eyes are the mirror to the soul. And now through Chrissy's eyes, I can see and experience so much joy. Through her eyes, I've seen her daughter's wedding and the birth of my beautiful great-granddaughter.
Each year, 300 people die waiting for a transplant. Give the gift of life. Become an organ and tissue donor today by visiting lifegoeson.com.
Chrissy's gift changed a life. You can too.
If you enjoy listening to The Beacon, why not become part of the family? You can tell our audience about your product or service at a reasonable cost. We will even help you produce your message in a way that will capture our listeners' ear for you. By advertising on The Beacon, you will not only reach thousands of people who need and want your product or service, don't have an agency, or wouldn't know the first thing about producing a radio commercial, let The Beacon staff help you write and produce your message. Now that the economy is picking up and people are spending more on things they need, this is the perfect opportunity for you to get the word out. For more information and a free consultation, just call Bill Jurek at 312-997-3678 or email Bill at bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org. Come on, join the Beacon family and increase your sales by reaching an audience that really wants to hear your message. Call today at 312-997-3678. Again, that's 312-997-3678 or bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org.
I have to tell you one of the nicest things about Chicago, having lived out of town for the last 2 years, has the memory of local theater. It just looms high because where I was living, they didn't have much local theater. And the fact that we have institutions like DePaul University, Columbia College, to actually turn out good actors and actresses and playwrights and scene designers and that sort of thing, it just makes me feel so good to be back in town. Joining me on the program is Leslie Shuck. Leslie, how are you?
Good morning. I'm just fine, thanks.
I think you and I usually talk on the telephone.
We do.
Yeah, so this is a rare treat for you to come in today and talk to us. We've got four plays we're going to be talking about that are going to be descriptive audio. And you were saying something about ASL?
Yeah, American Sign Language.
Yep.
The Children's Theater has two American Sign Language interpreted performances. And the best thing about that is we're using a deaf interpreter as one of our interpreters as well.
No kidding. Okay.
And it's really interesting. The students at Columbia College in their artistic interpreting program are mentees, and they feed the signs to the person who is deaf,
right,
so that the children in the audience who are deaf can see someone who is deaf interpreting a show,
yeah,
and they see perhaps a future career.
Wow, that's great. I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't know the answer, just say, I don't know the answer. How young do they teach them ASL?
Oh, you know, I'm not quite sure. When I was taking sign language classes, we learned that children of a very young age could learn that sign language.
They're sponges.
Yes.
You know, as a matter of fact, come to think of it now, and this is a terrible comparison, and I apologize to the audience, but they were teaching chimpanzees sign language.
And gorillas.
And gorillas, too, yeah, now that I thought about it. Well, we're here to talk about plays. So Molière is going to be the first one coming up, huh?
Right. The Misanthrope by Molière, translated by that famous guy, Richard Wilmer,
okay,
is being directed by Brian Balcom, who is in his third year of the Master of Fine Arts directing program. It's in the Fullerton stage in our new building in Lincoln Park, and it takes place on Sunday, April 24th, mm-hmm, at 2 p.m., we have both ASL interpreting and audio description that day.
Okay.
The interpreters are David Jones and Cassie Colburn, and the audio describer is Rob Lamont.
Oh, Rob Lamont. He reads for Chris Radio, yeah.
He does. Yep. He's very fine. And Rob and I will be doing a touch tour at 12:30 that day in the lobby, and we will bring out costumes and props from the production.
Sure.
So that the audience who is blind or low vision can have a chance to learn more.
You know, I think that's a great idea. I was going to ask you, because usually that goes along with the descriptive audio, and that's a great thing, because I was at a few performances. I think we were at Steppenwolf, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
And that really helps you understand the play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if we have an opportunity, we'll be able to walk on the set itself.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, it just depends on the levels of the set and how many volunteers we have that day.
Sure, sure, yeah. You don't want anybody to go, you know, boom, 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 poof,
yeah,
off the end of the risers and that. And then the next play following that?
Well, we're doing two plays that are new. One of them is called The Translation of Likes by Nambi E. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Nambi is an alum of our acting program, and she took playwriting classes with us as well. It's being directed by Ron O.J. Parson, who is a community director. They're both African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And the MFA acting class in their third year, the year they graduate, are the actors in that show.
Ah, okay.
Rob is actually also describing that play on the 13th of May. It's a Friday evening at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
with a 6 o'clock touch tour.
Cool. That sounds good.
And that's upstairs in the Healy Theater. It's a black box.
But on Fullerton.
Yes,
okay.
On Fullerton.
Tell me about the theater, because you and I were talking about the last time that we had you on the program. You said you were getting a new theater.
We did.
Tell me all about it.
Well, we have a new building. It's 5 stories tall. It's the most glorious, wonderful laboratory for all of our faculty, staff, and students. And it's used often by the community and our alumni.
Wow.
We have movement studios that we never had in the old building.
Right.
We have many acting labs. We have 2 really wonderful theaters. One seats 250 people. That's called the Fullerton Stage.
Right.
And the other is the Sandra and Dennis Healy Theater on the 4th floor, and it's a black box and has a variety of different seating patterns that can be used.
Can be used, yeah, utilized on that. That's fantastic. That's great. When did you complete the construction on all of this?
I think we moved in July of 2013, and we opened the building to the public in that September.
Oh, that's great. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Have you had a lot of success on filling the house?
Well, we do pretty well. The thing about the theater school is that we're really a laboratory for our students.
Sure.
And so the plays that you are going to see in our season are not necessarily blockbuster musicals.
Right.
Or theater that you may have heard of before. These plays that I mentioned earlier, The Translation of Likes and The Women Eat Chocolate, they're both brand new plays.
Do you know what, though? That's what's missing in a lot of parts of the country. It's an opportunity to present these new plays, you know, because everybody, they always associate with, like you said, the Broadway or the big musical or that sort of thing. And this way it gives a young playwright an opportunity to show his writing ability as well as the director, his directing ability, you know, that sort of thing. And we, I mean, Lord, along the north side here, we've got tremendous little theater companies that operate that really give people an opportunity to act. Whether they're professional actors or if they're just, you know, part-time, I want to do this type of thing.
Well, there are 250-plus theaters in Chicago, and they're varying sizes, as you well know.
Yep.
The last play that we're doing is a fourth-year BFA playwright. Her name is Carolyn Macon, and she wrote a play called The Women Eat Chocolate. It's being directed by Heidi Stillman, who is the new artistic director at Looking Glass Theater.
I was just going to ask you, that name sounds familiar.
Yes.
Yep.
And our audio-described performance and ASL interpreting are on Saturday evening, May 28th, and that's a 7:30 performance. And George Demopoulos is going to be the audio describer for that.
Cool. Very, very good. Excellent. Did we cover all of them, I think?
Yeah, I think we did. The one that we're working on currently is at the Merle Reskin Theater.
Sure.
It's Peter Pan and Wendy.
Okay.
It's got some music in it. And it's from the novel by J.M. Barrie, of course.
Sure.
And directed by Ernie Nolan, who is a sprightly director.
Do you cross venues with the music department?
Actually, the music department did the DePaul Opera Theater production this last weekend of Deflatormouse.
Really?
And Alfred Beard did the audio description for 11 folks who came on Sunday.
Alfred Beard.
Yes.
Al Beard. I used to work with Al Beard.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Everybody's worked with Al Beard. He's got a very outgoing personality.
Well, he was terrific on Sunday.
Was he? Great.
Yeah.
That's absolutely terrific. Let's talk about ticket prices and if there's subscriptions and that sort of thing.
Well, you can get a subscription, but if you are a person with a disability, any ticket, any time is $5.
Okay.
Our ticket prices aren't high. They're $15 full price.
Oh, that's not bad.
And for the children's theater, they're $10 full price.
Right.
But a person coming to our theater and their guests can buy $5 tickets at the box office, or they can go online and do it with the code ACCESS.
Ah, cool question for you. How about access with paratransit and that sort of thing?
Well, we've had really good luck with pace cars, and we have a pretty good system. We get the names of our patrons as best we can before they come.
Sure.
And we meet the pace cars and tell them the length of the play and
sure.
when to come back. and then we write it all down on a piece of paper that we have, and then our ushers meet the buses. If the driver is early, which does occasionally happen, we say, 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes, please wait.
But it's a rarity, believe me. Trust me, I've used it, yeah. And so it's $5.
Yes.
Paratransit friendly.
Yes.
And did you say $5 as well as for the people that accompany the person with a disability?
Absolutely. Any person who is a family member or a guest or a friend can buy that $5 ticket.
Terrific. Terrific. Well, it sounds good. It sounds like you got a full season. When the last play, Women Eat Chocolate, when is that going to air? When is it going to? When is it, you know me, Mr. Broadcast over here.
Okay, well, it actually plays from May 18th to the 28th, and on the last performance on the 28th, which is a Saturday evening, we are going to do the audio description.
Okay.
And the play says, the publicity says, two sisters struggle to reclaim love and innocence while navigating the ickiness of puberty.
Well, let me tell you one thing. They're better off sticking with chocolate. Fannie Mae goes a long way further. Of course, it adds to you, too, but that's beside the point. Leslie, thanks for coming in. It's so good to actually have you in the studio.
I appreciate it.
It's supposed to be on the telephone and that. So it's the DePaul Theater. A lot of the plays, most of them take place in the Fullerton.
Yes,
level, right?
Many of them do, okay. And the address is 2350 North Racine.
How about the phone number in case people want to make a reservation?
The phone number is 773-325-7900.
One last question. The theater group for the children, what are they performing?
They're going to be doing Peter Pan and Wendy.
Peter Pan and Wendy, okay. All right, I was just curious.
That actually opens on April 21st and plays through the 28th of May at the Merle Reskin Theater downtown at 60 East Balboa, our historic, beautiful place.
Theater down there, yeah. That's great. Well, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And hope this winter weather that was mild continues into springtime so everybody can have a chance to get out and enjoy the theater.
Thank you so much.
And that is Leslie Shuck. See, I got it right again. I almost called you Eileen. The show's The Beacon. We'll be back with more. And by the way, we'll keep all that information as far as making the reservations by phone so that you and your friend can take in one of these performances. Trust me, they're great. They really are. I'm Bill Jurek. Back in a bit.
9 major television networks are making some primetime and children's programs more accessible to persons with impaired eyesight. For about 4 hours a week, the networks will be providing video description, an audible narration of a program's key visual elements inserted in natural pauses of the dialogue. The description may be accessed by a television's secondary audio feature, which might be labeled SAP or Spanish, since the feature is sometimes used for a language translation. To learn about described programs shown in your area, contact your cable or satellite television provider or your local ABC, CBS, Fox, or NBC station. To learn about your equipment's secondary audio feature, contact the vendor or manufacturer. The Federal Communication Commission's information on video description is available at www.fcc.gov or by calling 1-888-225-5322.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
I always love to hear about accessible theater.
I know you do.
It's one of my favorites. Always has been.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught the show the other week. You were off. You were, you know, when we did the live show.
Right, right.
And Evan Hatfield.
Mm-hmm, my buddy.
Said that we are probably the most accessible city in the country.
I have heard that about Chicago, actually. I have heard that about Chicago. Yep. And just even on my end of what I do with interpreting,
sure.
You know, there's... I mean, I work full-time as an interpreter,
sure,
and there's
sure.
that work available, which leads me to believe that, you know, people know that they need to request interpreters
yep.
for their deaf and hard of hearing,
yep.
For their deaf and hard of hearing clientele, whoever they may be.
I was singing your praises the other day.
You were.
I can't remember who, but I was singing your praises. Actually, your name has come up quite a bit in the last few weeks.
Well, that's
you know,
so. Nice, I suppose.
Everything was good. Everything was good, so you don't have to worry about it.
Well,
thing.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
That's all right. No big deal. We're getting closer to getting the Fading to Black book out.
When are you going to self-publish it?
Sometime later this spring or early summer.
All right. So what does it take to self-publish something?
It's a nightmare.
Is it?
You got to hire your own editor.
Oh.
You work with a art department
to get the cover.
Everything they do, they charge you arm and a leg.
Oh,
for
I'm
it,
sure
you know,
that's
so.
Not a surprise.
So that's why it's taken a while to get this done.
That's understandable.
And then I'm still, you know, still available if you need a lecturer for Three Trees.
The Three Trees.
Love to come out and talk to your group, and just a nominal fee, and we would hopefully. Be able to inspire somebody to sit down and have a conversation with them and let them know that it's not the end of the world.
I think that is absolutely a lovely cause. Proud of you for doing that.
Well, I really am happy that I'm doing it as well. So, you know, you can check out my website, BillJurekMedia.com, or you can go to, what's our Facebook page?
Chicago Beacon.
Okay.
Lighthouse Beacon, Lighthouse Beacon.
And then also on Twitter.
On Twitter. We're Lighthouse Beacon on Twitter as well.
We're going to have it all posted over there so you can take a look at it and see what's going on.
Lovely.
So what's coming up next?
Well, we have got our good friend Sandy Merlo doing her Sandy's View next.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Sandy's View. This morning, I have the pleasure of speaking with Richard Ellenson, who is the CEO of the Cerebral Palsy Foundation. He's going to be telling us a little bit about the foundation and about an interesting campaign that they recently developed on how to interact with people with disabilities. Richard, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Sandy. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about the work you do at the Cerebral Palsy Foundation?
Sure, glad to. So I guess I'll start with the Cerebral Palsy Foundation. Mm-hmm. We're a 60-year-old foundation, and we have been involved with a lot of wonderful work over the years. But, you know, the interesting thing is over the last 60 years, the world has changed so much. Things that just were not possible before are still possible now. Mm-hmm. And whereas information used to be hard to find, today it's hard to keep up with that information. And mm-hmm. because of that, so many things don't get to people. And one of the real difficult things when you think about that is that people with cerebral palsy so often are not getting what they need when they need it. Mm-hmm. And because of that, lives have challenges that they just don't have to have. And frankly, that's true of many, many disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many great answers that are out there today that aren't getting to people, and we are very focused on making that happen. And the first thing is that people just are having a hard time saying hi to someone when they have disabilities. You know, it's hard to say hi to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone has disabilities, it adds another layer of complexity to it. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is that way. And so we've made this our signature campaign, so say hi.
Mm-hmm. Great. So now does the Cerebral Palsy Foundation, do you guys also focus on any research efforts or advocacy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our belief is that a foundation's role is to have evidence-based practices to put forth things that we've taken the time to make sure that they work and that they can actually accomplish what we hope to accomplish. So we have come up with a whole bunch of initiatives. So the Just Say Hi campaign is the introduction to our foundation, we like to say. But what's really important, and you know, with that, we've gotten so many amazing people. You know, William H. Macy did our first spot. Mario Batali has done a spot. Gail King has done a spot, which you see so often on CBS. We have had Michael J. Fox has even done a spot for our foundation, and Tim Cook did a spot. And one of the really wonderful things is if you ask Siri on your iPhone now, how do you start a conversation with someone with a disability, Siri will tell you. It's simple. Just say hi.
Oh, I did not know that. You know, I when I was reading up on your foundation and reading about the campaign, I did see the spot with Tim Cook, but I didn't know that. Well, you know, when you actually ask Siri, it actually, you know, says that. So that's great. That's
absolutely.
Then even
so,
Siri,
you
know, knows, you know.
It's gotta be true.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, and I understand you yourself have a son with cerebral palsy.
Yeah, absolutely. So my son Tom is 18 years old. And he's a spectacular, wonderful child. He is full of joy. He is full of persistence and optimism. You know, as with many people, you know, he has challenges. And as many people do, he handles those challenges with a lot of gracefulness. And Tom is in the New York City school system. He has relatively severe cerebral palsy. He speaks with an iPad. And he uses a motorized wheelchair, and he is an actor, and he is part of a group called Creative Arts Team in New York that puts on wonderful theater plays. He is, you know, part of his school theater group. And one of the interesting things is that he says he loves being an actor because it's the only time that people look at him for all the right reasons. And I think going back to the whole Just Say Hi campaign, this is what we're about. We're about taking kids like Tom and taking adults who have the challenges that Tom has and getting people to sort of just get past that challenge, just say hi, just get to the next level and start having the real conversations that remind us that, hey, we're all in this together. Whether you have sight problems or whether you have hearing problems or whether you have cerebral palsy or physical problems, developmental problems, you know, we all are on this planet together. We're all having our own struggles. We all have our own joys. And the more gracefully and easily we can all share that, the better life we all live. So, you know, Tom lives a wonderful life. He's a happy, terrific kid. You know, he's got a 13-year-old sister. The two of them get along magically. Got a wife and a mom as well. And we are a very happy, loving family. It's a really
just like any other family,
Yeah. So, but you know, when Tom was a young kid, 6 years old, I created a speech device for children with disabilities called the Tango. And, you know, it was based on the notion that people, it's not only about what you say, it's about what other people hear. And it really, you know, helped redefine what the world of assistive technology looked like. Because all of a sudden people started asking not only, what is it that we're putting out there, but what are people taking in? And, you know, that is very much what our foundation is about today. You know, what we are very, very involved in is making sure that the whole ecosystem of people with disabilities, you know, is part of the larger ecosystem. We're doing everything we can to make sure that supports and services are in place.
Yeah, for example, one...
One thing we're doing is an initiative called Transforming Healthcare for Women with Disabilities. Women with disabilities have a 3 times higher fatality rate from breast cancer than other women. It's outrageous. And it's not because of a genetic problem. It's not because of a physical problem. It's because the delivery of care doesn't happen the way it should. So we're working with Columbia, UCLA, Harvard, and Northwestern to sort of change it so people can get what they need.
Wow, that's wonderful. So it looks like your foundation is, you know, in all areas trying to not just research but advocating for more inclusion and more, you know, treating people with disabilities like anyone else. You know, as
yeah, with you know, and it's funny when you say that we should treat people like with disabilities like anyone else. It sounds so odd, such an odd thing to say, but it is true that not everybody knows how to do that. And it's not because of anything within a person with disabilities. It's because what there is in with other people. There's an inherent awkwardness with something they're not used to. And so what we're trying to do is break down the barriers, meet people, you know, who don't understand others with disabilities to be more observant and aware. And, you know, frankly, we're also trying to work with people in the community of people with disabilities to help share that message, because some people don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one likes to admit that something is a little harder for them. We'd rather challenge it, and we'd rather work our way through it. But, you know, when we all become a little bit more vulnerable, we can solve things together.
Mm-hmm.
And our foundation is completely based on the notion of collaboration. I mean, it's so wonderful that we're getting to collaborate with you in making this radio interview.
Yeah, definitely.
Because,
it's our pleasure.
You know, we all are doing this together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tell us a little more about the campaign. How many videos have you guys done? Where can people find out more? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I should have put our URL up there way earlier. We're the CerebralPalsyFoundation.org.
Mm-hmm.
Again, CerebralPalsyFoundation.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us on the Internet, obviously. There's also an app that you can download from the Apple Store. The Cerebral Palsy Foundation, and the app is called Just Say Hi, and you can get all of those spots on your phone. But we've got about 20. There are more coming out every couple of weeks. And again, each one is a slightly different take on it. One of my favorites is by a guy, Zach Anna, who is a comedian who's had a show on Oprah Winfrey Network. He has cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I won't give up the whole joke, but he basically says, how do you say hi to someone with disabilities? Well, you don't like stare at them and just say, what's wrong with you? you just you could just say hi. That might be simple. And his delivery is fantastic and wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Keplinger, who's an artist with cerebral palsy, who there's a movie about his life called King Gimp.
Mm-hmm.
That's won a best short documentary in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
We have a spot of his coming out this month as well. But we have really seen, think of this. Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, and Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, have both done spots for us.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Because it means this is a universal message.
Mm-hmm.
This is something people need to hear. And one of the most interesting things is people with disabilities sometimes have a tougher time with a message than people without disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And the campaign is very much for both sides of the equation. The campaign is that we all have to let ourselves just allow conversations to take place. Because when conversation takes place, relationships begin. And every conversation begins with two letters, H-I.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so we love the fact that it's been embraced by so many people. We love that, you know, we've had millions of hits on the website, on various websites where the spot has been. We've had people reach out to do new spots for us. It's really, really a special campaign.
You know, and then like you mentioned in one of the articles that, you know, saying hi is just the beginning, you know, it shouldn't be the entire conversation. So hopefully this will lead, like you said, to more conversations, both among, you know, people with and without disabilities. So that's wonderful.
Absolutely. You know, when you say hi, someone says hi back. When someone says hi back, conversations have a chance to begin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's not only true in social interaction. The inability of doctors who are unfamiliar with cerebral palsy and physical disabilities to understand symptoms is something we don't like to talk about, but something that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working as a foundation with the American Academy of Cerebral Palsy and Developmental Medicine to make that happen. We're doing work with UCLA to improve dental care for women with disabilities. We are doing all sorts of great work at Johns Hopkins to look at how to reduce inflammation in young infants who could potentially have brain damage due to cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to find earlier ways to detect cerebral palsy in young children and detect developmental disabilities. So there are so many things that could be done better if we had better processes in place and better information available to people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really focused on that as a foundation. You know, to use a clinical term, it's called knowledge transfer and clinical application, and making sure that the information that's out there can get to people.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like you said, you know, here, obviously here with us at the Lighthouse, you know, we're also focused. We have many different areas of focus. You know, we have the clinical aspect of vision impairment. We have research going on. We have adaptive technology. So, you know, like you said, we're all in this together and trying to spread information for a better future for people with all types of disabilities.
Absolutely.
So,
it's funny, you know, we talked about my son a little bit, and, you know, my God, you know, what a great relationship I have with him. What a great relationship I have with my daughter, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Tom has been on the media a few times over the years, and every time I see him on TV, I'm like a little surprised that he has disabilities because in our life, it just doesn't really figure so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the visual of him out of context is always so different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if everybody could live a little bit more of a life where this became something that was within their context, I think a lot of problems get solved a lot more quickly. And the Just AI campaign is part of making that happen.
Yes, yes, I would totally agree. Again, how can people find out more? Can you repeat the web address and the name of the app?
Yeah, thanks so much. Cerebralpalsy.org or your CPF, as in CPF Cerebral Palsy Foundation, yourcpf.org. You can get to either way. And, you know, when you get there, you'll find a lot of great information about background cerebral palsy. You'll get to see all of our Just Say Hi spots are up there. There's information about the work that we do. There's information about things you can do. And, of course, no foundation should end without saying you can also donate there, because what's really important is that we give not only our time and our focus, but also dollars to support the work that our foundation does, because those dollars literally are changing lives. Next year, women with cerebral palsy will live when they might not have, because of the new procedures we're putting in place. Kids who have not been able to play games with their friends because they're not accessible will change. Kids who were not diagnosed until 2 years out will get diagnosed earlier because of that. Our foundation is completely committed to making sure dollars have impact, to making sure that the work gets to people, and to making sure that we do really cool initiatives like Just Say Hi so people become aware, not only of people with cerebral palsy, but all the phenomenal ways you can support them. That all takes dollars. So can't help doing a little public service announcement here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, that's what keeps foundations going. So we invite you to check out the Cerebral Palsy Foundation if you want to find out more about the campaign or any of the other programs or services. Again, thanks, Richard, so much for your time and all the wonderful information you shared with us. And best of luck to you and to the foundation and your many initiatives.
Thank you very much. And hi to everyone out there in Chicago. Thanks so much for listening.
All right.
And we look forward to talking again.
All right.
So then,
thank you so much.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
I lost my daughter Chrissy to cancer. She was just 45 years old, but in her final hours, she chose to give me the ultimate gift. My vision was failing. Through a cornea transplant, Chrissy gave me the gift of sight.
One person can improve the quality of life for up to 25 people.
Cancer didn't define Chrissy. Her giving spirit did.
It takes less than a minute to join the Secretary of State's Organ and Tissue Donor Registry. Go to lifegoeson.com.
I could see so much better. The eyes are the mirror to the soul. And now through Chrissy's eyes, I can see and experience so much joy. Through her eyes, I've seen her daughter's wedding and the birth of my beautiful great-granddaughter.
Each year, 300 people die waiting for a transplant. Give the gift of life. Become an organ and tissue donor today by visiting lifegoeson.com.
Chrissy's gift changed a life. You can too.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
My favorite segment.
Oh, it's your favorite segment this week, huh?
Well, and this whole time, this whole series that you've been running, you know.
Oh, the smoothie segment.
Right,
yeah.
You know, no kale.
Right, no, not yet.
So, what do you mean, not yet?
Well, it's always a possibility kale might show up in a smoothie recipe.
You know, I'm getting nervous now.
Not this week. And in fact, I'm looking at on to next week, not next week either. So I think we're in good shape. Don't worry. You look very panicked.
I am.
Rest easy. At ease, soldier. No kale
I'm
in this
scared. I'm scared. You have to lead me through the darkness.
We're all right. I'm going to lead you through. We're going to get to the other side of this together.
Well, anyway, it's time to let us turn up the beat. And my co-host and lady who wants us to eat healthy,
I do.
Ms. Lainey Kleeman.
I really do. Thank you for that very appropriate introduction.
Well, yeah.
You do it sometimes.
I hire writers to do that.
Yeah. You know, so. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Our studio is teeming.
Yeah. Right.
Writers.
Right. Actually, I've got the guys I used to write for Milton Berle. Unfortunately,
yes.
They're dead. But you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that sometimes comes through.
Hey. Thanks.
All right.
Hey.
So, continuing with our smoothie series, this smoothie series is Wake Up Wednesday. So a lot of
Wednesday.
So the smoothie series is essentially kind of goes by the days of the week. But since I'm just doing a smoothie recipe a week, you just go with it. Just go with it. Smoothie recipe this week: a half a cup of fresh or frozen raspberries.
Oh, good.
One orange peeled.
Okay.
One slice of pineapple, diced and cored. This smoothie actually sounds delicious to me.
What, the diced and cored the
pineapple.
The pineapple?
Yeah,
yeah.
So you take the core out, dice it up. I actually buy frozen pineapple chunks from Trader Joe's.
Do you?
Yeah, that are great.
Yeah, yeah.
A quarter of a beet, peeled and sliced. Mm-hmm. I'm not a great beet fan, but again,
you can
put them in smoothies and not taste them much. And they add a beautiful, like, rich, deep red color to the smoothie, which I love. And again, Trader Joe's, actually, they sell prepackaged beets that have been steamed and peeled and all that good stuff.
Sure.
One cup of celery and one banana, or if you want a sweeter smoothie, you can do two bananas. But this one sounds good.
I might. Two banana, three banana,
thank
four.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, so.
So I think we're going to have to, I'm going to have to put this one on my list of smoothies to try.
I
got to
try that one too.
It sounds really good.
That really does. And Stacy is just, she's a smoothie nut.
Is she? Well, there you go.
Oh my God, she's a smoothie nut.
There you go.
So we're going to have to get the copies of all of the recipes.
I will give them to you.
Good. Yeah. So she can try it and she just goes crazy, except she likes flaxseed.
I do. You know what? I add the power boosts as well. So I add flaxseed. I add chia seed, hemp seed sometimes.
Yeah, and she does. She's got this powder she buys.
Yeah, like a protein type powder. Yeah,
yeah. She puts that in there too.
I sometimes have, like, we'll add a vanilla protein powder to it. Or I'll just add straight up vanilla extract, which is really, the kids love
that. Which is better, actually, probably, for you anyway.
Very, very good. So that is this week's smoothie recipe, and we'll be back next week with yet another one.
That's right, and coming up in just a bit, Tom's Corner.
That smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave.
Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you. And dinner.
Well, your stomach clock is fast. It's gonna be a while. How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you... why don't you...
You okay?
Oh,
honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home, but it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Good recipe. Sounds really, really good.
Thank you, darling.
And we have a recipe for disaster coming up now. Because Tom Persky is here, but thank God for Brian Hawkins.
Oh, yeah.
He is our savior in this segment of the program.
He keeps us all in line.
He does, and he makes sure that that Tom stays on time and online.
On time and online.
That's it. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, that little house halfway up the block with the music in the background, and Brian Hawkins will greet us.
Everyone, it's another Tom's Corner, and I'm Brian Hawkins, and Tom Persky's here. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Brian Hawkins, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Now, today's show, very interesting topic, low vision evaluation. So you mentioned earlier before we came on air that you found a lot of people are not even familiar with that is, so you wanted to talk about it.
Exactly. You know, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about devices that help people to read and technology, and so just about three times in the last week, we've had people come in to look at CCTV reading machines or the portable devices that read. And I've asked people, you know, have you ever gone to a low vision evaluation? And people are like, oh, I already have a doctor. I'm like, well, this is different. This isn't a medical exam. This is an evaluation for different kinds of lenses that magnify that might help you. And they still kind of look at me like, what is that? I still don't understand what that is. So I thought I would just briefly describe some of that today and what goes on, and maybe how a person could sort of prepare in their own mind for what would happen at a low vision exam. And if you're having difficulty reading print and you're at the early stages of vision loss, it really would be good to go through what we call a functional examination. And so one of the first steps, obviously, is reading, is being able to measure the vision in each eye and figure out sometimes one eye is better than the other. So sometimes we have to accentuate the better seeing eye and measure, have the optometrists in the low vision test measure the vision in your better eye, and then actually make a magnification lens that's actually custom made for your vision. And so if somebody needs a lens that's three times bigger than normal, or four times, or five times, what's the exact measurement that's best for your vision? And those glasses can be made so that you can hold a book up or hold a paper up. The only disadvantage is you do have to hold it closer as you get closer to things. But if you've never been through an evaluation like that, it might be really important for you to know how much magnification you need. And there's other tips of holding, let's say, if your left eye is better than your right eye, and you've been reading more with your right eye all your life. Now there's some tips on where to hold the book and so forth. And then that same lens could also be put into a magnifying glass that you can hold in your hand so that you don't have to hold it so close, but by holding the magnifier out. So reading print is, of course, a key for so many people in being able to identify what's important to you, reading the mail, reading the pill bottle at home, the food labels, seeing the thermostat on the wall. All those things should be written down on your list of things that you should prepare for. The second area we talk about is distance viewing. So being able to watch TV is the number one thing.
Right.
But there are actual measurements that we can measure. That to see the TV, maybe you need something that's two times or two and a half times or three times larger than normal to help you to see faces and even read the print on the bottom of the screen. Other distance tasks would be if you're a person that goes to concerts or plays or shows. That's an important thing. We have telescope glasses that can help with those kind of things. And then also for distance, just spotting, like if you're traveling, you want to get to the airport and you want to read the TV monitor to see what gate you're from and whatever. Those are all important tasks if you do any of that, going to museums, being able to see through a glass case, all those areas of what we call distant tasks. Mm-hmm. Intermediate is also the computer, being able to see something that, a little bit farther away than normal, sewing machine, anything that's not right close to you, but you still have to magnify it to see better. Write those down on your list of areas that are important to you. We don't know what your lifestyle is, so if the doctors can actually see and bring samples in of things that you do on your everyday basis. We also go into, we call filters, which filter out harmful light. So the sunlight and the glare might be a problem. Many people actually have more than one type of sunglasses. They might have a lighter colored lens for a cloudy day that heightens the contrast. Yellow is a good color, or amber.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a dark day, a plum color is heightens the contrast and makes things stand out more. On a really, really bad day would be sunshine and snow on the ground. Remember that, where the reflection would come up in your eye. So those filters are important. And then finally, for the future, what would you like to explore? I mean, we're getting into the era of the smartphone, of course, and everybody, not everybody, especially older people, still are reluctant. But there's so many things now that can help, tablet, an iPad, an Android tablet. So that starts to get into the whole area of technology. But many doctors don't think about the fact that a low vision center can help you with seeing your smartphone, maybe a pair of glasses that would help you to be able to see the phone that you currently use,
mm-hmm.
Even if it's an older style phone. So these are all the areas of low vision service that I just wanted to outline today, just to let people know what's out there to help them.
And that's very good stuff. But if you're a person who does have a doctor, would you need a referral from your doctor in order to get the low vision evaluation?
That's a really good question. Yeah, the because we're not going to duplicate anything that your doctor already does,
mm-hmm.
and we don't want you to stop seeing your regular doctor. We would like to have your most recent doctor information. And so there's a form that you can fill out, or if you call the Low Vision Center, they can send that form and have the doctor fax it to us here at the Low Vision Center. So that is 312-997-3686. So 312-997-3686. And they can explain not only the referrals and what information we need, but what the costs would be.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Medicare does not cover, you know, hearing aids and vision aids. So some of the actual products that you will need won't be covered. However, there is a coverage for some of the parts of the evaluation.
Oh, okay.
So that's a good thing.
And, of course, you are constantly on the road.
Correct. Tuesday, May 3rd is our next gig, as they say in the rock world, right? We're going to be at the Romeoville, Illinois, from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock that day. It's at Senior Star at Weber Place.
Ah.
And we look forward to the people out in Romeoville. They appreciate us coming out. It's really been great. We've been doing lots of road shows and sitting down talking to people, and many people say it's really turned their life around, and that's what we're all about, is trying to help. Tuesday, May 17th, also from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock, is going to be right at our Chicago Lighthouse North in Glenview, Illinois, 222 Waukegan Road. If you have not been to Glenview, you should come, because it's really a great facility, and there'll be lots and lots of new technology and new products to see. Later in May, Tuesday, May 24th, we're going to be south again at the Private Bank in Worth, Illinois. We had a great show last week in Frankfurt. So people, again, I say, just come up to us, and they always say how much they appreciate us going out into the community. Sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Illinois. It's free. It's open to the public. So come see us. Come. Don't get discouraged if you're having trouble with vision and reading. We have a solution for you, and low vision should be a consideration also.
Okay. Well, folks, that's Tom Persky you've been listening to. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard. as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Unable to work because of insurance and disabilities? Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities is a state health insurance program for working individuals with disability. Call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com for more information.
That's going to do it for us this week.
That's it.
I like that recipe.
Thank you.
I like this week's recipe, and I like last week's with the ruby red.
I'm going to give those a shot this week. I'll report back next week.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
See how they went. All right, good.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks to Dr. Janet Slick, our executive director at the Lighthouse, Sandra Murillo, our associate producer, who helps us find all the guests and books them for us a lot of times, and, of course, our buddy and our pal,
Mr. Brian Hawkins.
That's right, because Mr. Brian Hawkins is the gentleman that does the voodoo that he do so well.
Excellent.
There's a line we haven't used in a long time.
Yes.
We will be back next Saturday morning at 7 on Chris Radio, sometime on Wednesday night. I don't know.
Yeah, just tune in. You'll get around to us.
It's like I used to have an ophthalmologist who had color lights above each room that he had patients in. And he would come out of one room and he'd say, okay, where am I going? And the nurse would say, you're going to green, doctor. Okay. So he walked into green and that. He was a great guy too, Dr. Howard Lieberman.
It's a great story. I'm not sure how it's relevant to what we're doing right now.
It has no relevance.
No relevant. All right. That's okay.
That's right. We're like Seinfeld.
It's like 60% of our
That's right.
Content.
We're like Seinfeld.
We are.
The show that means nothing. But the show that does mean something are the guys over in the tool workshop.
Our handyman guys.
Our handyman guys will be here. And we just got a couple of commercials. And I think we run the news at the top of the hour here, too. So we'll run that. And then, of course, it's our buddies, the handyman, right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
See you next week.